Amos chapter 7, we're looking tonight at one of the narrative sections in the book of Amos. Just to give you a little background as we're getting ready for this, Amos chapter 7 in the Old Testament, find the three big prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, then you'll find Daniel, ease a little bit farther into Joel, Hosea and Joel, and you'll find Amos. Amos was a prophet who preached about 2,600 years ago. Although he came from the southern kingdom, he preached to the northern kingdom of Israel. And I've said many times during this series that there are some spooky parallels between Israel in the 7th century B.C. and America in the year 2001. It was a time of great prosperity. It was a time of worldwide peace. It was a time when Israel was considered a superpower. It was a time when Israel was very religious, but they had become more religious than righteous, as we're going to see. And so some of the same warnings that Amos is issuing to Israel are warnings that we ought to be listening to ourselves today. And the title of the message tonight is there an unpleasant message? Well, then just attack the messenger. When I was a kid growing up in Florala, Alabama, one of my best friends, Mike Parker, he had a paper route in the mornings. He delivered papers for the Montgomery Advertiser down in Florala, and every morning he would get up real early and he would roll up those newspapers. He would ride around town on his bicycle and he'd toss out the papers in everybody's yard. Well, Mike had to go on vacation one week, and so he asked me if I would be willing to do his paper route for him. And I just want to admit to you, it was not a very pleasant experience for me. First of all, I like to get up early, but 4 a.m. is a little bit early for me to roll those papers and then to ride my bicycle around town throwing out those papers. You got to remember, you folks may not know, but back then they didn't have a leash law. They didn't have dogs behind fences. I mean, the dogs were just running wild. And there was one particular house down at the end of this long hill, and I remember the man had one of those big white German shepherds. You know the kind I'm talking about? Just the big ones. And I learned the first morning that every morning that dog was going to come out after me. And so I would try to get up as much speed as I could going down that hill, so that by the time the dog ran out after me, I'd have enough speed to outrun the dog. And so sometime in that process, I'd just fling a paper up there toward the house too. Now, maybe Mike was good at it, but I wasn't too good at it, because I do recall the very first time I did it, I threw the paper right up on the roof. The second day, I threw it right in the middle of the bushes. Now, I was not good. And on the third morning, I got up my speed, and I'm going down the hill, and guess what? The man who lived in that house was out on the end of the sidewalk waiting for me like this, on his dog on a leash. And he stopped me, and I mean, he just began to berate me up one side and down the other. How dare you throw my paper up on the roof? I can't get it up there. How dare you throw my paper in the bushes? I can't wait in there and get that. And I didn't want to explain to him I'm not the regular paper boy, you know, and your dog was after me. He just took a few moments and just sort of scorched my hide, if you want to put it real clearly. And you know, I probably deserved it, because I did not deliver the paper where he could get to it. And there are many, many times since that day that I've thought that in a real sense, that's still my job as a preacher of the gospel. And that's the job of every minister, and that's the job of every prophet, to simply deliver the news, the message that God has given us. And my job as a pastor is to not to put it up on the roof so that you have to be a theological giraffe to understand it. My job is not to deliver it in the bushes so that you have to wade through a whole bunch of obscure trash to get to the truth. It's try to deliver it right at your foot, right at your doorstep, so that you can understand God's message. That's kind of the problem Amos had, because Amos was delivering God's message. Now, maybe somebody can get upset at a paper boy if they throw their paper on the roof like I did. But could you imagine some morning going outside and holding a gun at your paper boy and saying, "Listen, I don't like the news that you've been delivering lately. I don't like some of the stories. I don't like the car bombs. I don't like all the crimes that I'm reading about. I want you to deliver better news to me tomorrow, boy." Somebody like that would be stupid. Because a messenger doesn't write the news. A paper boy only delivers the news. Well, that's what Amos did. But you know what? Amos came under great attack, not because of where he delivered it, but what he delivered, the message itself. And so what we have here tonight is an encounter between two individuals. One of them is Amaziah, who is like the official priest of Israel. And you have Amos, the prophet of God. And this passage tonight is a conflict that we see these two men involved in. I want us to begin reading in verse 10. And we're going to read the first couple of verses there, and we'll talk about it. Then we'll move through the passage to the end of the chapter. Amos chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Now, he's in it to the king. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words, for this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam, that's the king, will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land. And so the first thing we're going to look at briefly tonight is the public complaint of the state chaplain. That's what you'd call him, the public complaint of the state chaplain. Now, if you've been around on Sunday nights as we've been preaching through Amos, you know that that's the message Amos has been delivering. He's been delivering the message to Israel. You're a religious nation. You're chosen of God. But because of your sin, because of your rebellion, God's going to punish you. Well, you know what? This state priest, this state chaplain didn't like the message. And so he sent a message to the king, King Jeroboam, and said, King, we got to do something about this messenger. We got to do something about this Amos. His message is like treason. He needs to be arrested. Now, by the way, if you'll notice what Amaziah said, he really only spoke a half-truth, because if you look at verse 11, he says, Amos is saying that you, Jeroboam, the king, you're going to die by the sword. Now, that is not exactly what Amos has said, because I checked it. He never said that Jeroboam himself would die. He said that the house of Jeroboam, the family, the dynasty, the rule of Jeroboam would be destroyed. And so it's kind of like anytime somebody is criticizing somebody, they always kind of add a little bit to it and they give half-truths and innuendos. And that's what Amaziah is doing. Did you know that throughout history, those who've stood up and preached the truth, who've delivered straightforward God's word, they've always been the target of more brick bats than bouquets? Someone has said that prophets, poets, and pigs are all alike in the fact that they're never appreciated as much as they are when they're dead. Prophets, poets, and pigs. I heard about a preacher up in the Northeast who years ago, he was preaching in his little church there as a community church. And there was a problem in the community of landowners stealing timber from neighboring lands. And it was a real problem in that little church. And so one Sunday, the preacher got up and he preached a sermon on love your neighbor as yourself. And guess what? The robberies continued. They kept stealing timber off of each other's land. And so he got up the next Sunday and he preached a sermon. He said, thou shalt not steal. And he kind of preached a general sermon on stealing. And guess what? Nothing happened. Everybody kept stealing timber from one another. And so on the third Sunday, he got up and he pointed his finger and said, you, John, should not steal timber from your neighbor. You see, sometimes if you just preach against sin in general, everything's okay. But when you get specific and you start calling sin, sin, like Amos did, you come under attack, as did Amos. Now let's pick up with verse 12 and let's read the next couple of verses there. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go out, you seer. Now, circle that word seer. He's using it sarcastically. Someone who sees the future. Because Amaziah really didn't believe he could. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary. Can't you hear him saying that? The royal sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. And so the second thing we see in this passage is the personal attack on the prophet of God. The first was a public complaint to King Jeroboam, and the second one is Amaziah talking directly to Amos, and he's basically saying, Amos, go home. Get out of here. Now this is a showdown between two individuals. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a lot of Jesus standing before Caiaphas in the New Testament. And here is Caiaphas, who is elected by man to be the priest. Actually, during that time, he was pretty much appointed by the Romans. And here was Jesus, the true prophet of God, the true Son of God, standing there, and they're going back and forth. That's what's happening here. You've got this individual who's somewhat like what we might call the Archbishop of Canterbury. It is a political position, although he's called a priest, and standing before him, you have the true prophet of God, and this priest is attacking God's prophet. You know what this is, folks? This is a competition. This is a conflict between religion and righteousness. Religion and righteousness. And you see, those who are into religion, all the rituals, all the exercises, all the things that you can do humanly, they don't like it when somebody starts standing up and preaching the true righteousness of God. Listen, folks, you know in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, righteousness is not determined by what you do. In other words, in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, this is the truth about righteousness. The Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. It is living by faith. It's not what you do or what you don't do. And so that's why there's this personal attack by Amaziah. Well, let's move on to the third thing in verse 14. Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flocks, and he said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, Amaziah, you say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the house of Isaac.'" Well, let's stop there, because the third thing we're going to look at is the simple defense of the accused prophet. Now, Amos, he says to Amaziah, he said, "Listen, I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet." What he means is, I never made my living as a prophet. He said, "I never wanted to be a prophet. I was just a shepherd. I took care of sycamore trees." You see, back in these days, there was even a prophetic guild, you might say, or a prophetic union, you might say. And he's saying, "I'm not even part of the union. I don't have a prophet union card." He said, "I'm just a poor farmer, shepherd. And God called me and said, 'Go preach to Israel.'" Now, you know what it was that kept Amos going in the midst of opposition? Listen to this. It was God's call on his life. And I want to talk just a moment to you tonight about God's call. Did you know everybody in the Bible and everybody in our time who have been mightily used of God have been called by God specifically for some kind of special ministry? Now, I believe God calls every one of us to salvation. He calls every one of us, every Christian, to ministry. But all throughout the Bible and all throughout history, there are special people that he has given a special call to for some specific challenge. I mean, he said to Moses through a burning bush, he said, "You go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And you know what? Moses didn't really want to do it. He said, I can't do it, God. I'm a stutterer. I can't speak. You got the wrong number, God. Call somebody else." No, you're the one, Moses. He called Moses. God called Gideon to fight against the Midianites, and he called him in a different way. And Gideon even tested the Lord. He said, "I want to lay out a fleece on the ground, Lord, a piece of wool. And if it's wet in the morning and the ground is dry, I'll believe you. And then the next morning, if it's dry and the ground is wet, exactly the opposite. I believe that you've called me." And that's where that phrase "laying out a fleece" comes from. But folks, the only thing is that nobody else in the Bible ever laid out a fleece. Nobody else in the Bible has ever called through a burning bush. In other words, every time God calls somebody, it is a unique, special call. I say that because we have young people here tonight. We have older people here tonight. God's calling you. He's calling you for some kind of special Christian service. And you need to hear God's call just as Amos heard God's call. You know, in the summer of 1970, when I was working at Shaco Springs Baptist Assembly in Talladega, Alabama, I was a lifeguard. I had gone that summer because I wanted to meet girls. As a lifeguard, you meet a lot of GAs and GA counselors. Oh, I love God, sure, but I loved a lot of other things more than God at that time. But to God got hold of my life that summer. And I remember I was at a service one night, because not only did I have to work as a lifeguard during the day at the pool, and I served in the kitchen, I mean in the dining hall that evening, we also had to go to all the worship services, and it was youth week. And I was sitting about halfway back on the aisle in that chapel there at Shaco Springs, and which is a Baptist camp. And a preacher was preaching, I don't even remember his name, and he said something like this. He said, God called me to preach when I was 17 years old, and I've been doing that ever since. Well, it just so happened I was 17 at the time. But when that preacher said those words, God called me to preach when I was 17 years old, and I've been doing it ever since, that was the moment that God spoke to me, and he said, David, that's what I want you to do. And you say, Pastor, was it an audible voice? Oh, no, it was a lot louder than that. Nobody else heard it but me. And that night I went forward in the invitation of that service, and I said, I don't know. I'm afraid to stand up in front of any group and speak in loud. But God, if God's called me to preach, I'll preach. And I started preaching then. And folks, you know what it is that keeps me going through the tough times? It's God's call on my life. And folks, if you're not called of God, when the going gets tough, you walk away. You walk away quickly. But when God has called you and he's got his hand on you, you just keep on being faithful to the call. Amos kept on being faithful to the call. He's under attack by Amaziah. He's under attack by Jeroboam. But all he can say is, I was just a farmer. I was just a sycamore tree tender. But God called me and I'm going to be faithful to that call. And God may be calling you tonight to some kind of special service. And I was amazed this week as I had a meeting with somebody who's talking about our ministry over in China. There is a need right now in 40 countries for men and women to go over and do jobs like coach baseball, coach football. I mean, there's a country right now where there's a American football club in one of these Muslim countries, and it's a group of guys. They have one football, and they have motorcycle helmets that they've used for football helmets, and they don't know the rules. They don't know anything about football. They want somebody to come over there and teach them how to play American football. And you know what it is, folks? We've said it before, but it's missions in disguise. Business needs. Teaching English. Folks, the time has never been more perfect than it is right now for people, whatever your age, to go around the world and minister for Jesus. But don't you go unless God calls you. Because if he doesn't call you when the going gets tough, you're out of there. And Amos discovered that. It was the call that kept him going. One final thing, and we're through, beginning there in verse 17. Amos said, and look at verse 16 again. He said, I hear what you're saying there, official priest of God. But verse 16, now then I want you to hear the word of the Lord. I've heard your word. I've heard Jeroboam's word. But I want you to hear the word of the Lord. You say, don't prophesy against Israel. Stop preaching against the house of Isaac. But here it goes. Verse 17. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. And God always has the last word. Folks, this is kind of scary. He speaks personally to Amaziah. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city. Your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up. And you yourself will die in a pagan country, Amaziah. And I want to say it again. I don't stutter. And Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land. The final thing that we see in this passage is the consistent message of God's judgment. The consistent message of God's judgment. Amos did not back up. He did not shut up. He did not let up. He kept preaching the same message God had given him. Repent, 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 or judgment is coming. And then he got very specific. He said, Amaziah, because God has placed you in a position of accountability and responsibility, he says it's even going to be worse for you because of your failure. He says, Amaziah, you ought to be the leader of these people. You ought to be the spiritual leader calling Israel back to repentance. But you're part of the problem. And he said, Amaziah, it's going to be bad for you. It's going to be bad for your family. It's going to be bad for your fortune. I mean, the property you own is going to be divided up, and it's going to be bad for your nation. Now, folks, what do we learn about this? Listen, if we learn anything from this passage of Scripture, when you don't like God's message, be careful that you don't attack the messenger. And folks, when God delivers a message, particularly a message through His Word, because that's the most sure word of testimony today, you better be careful that you don't fight against it, that you don't reject it, that you don't deny that it came from God. We'd better heed it. I finish by calling your attention to the last page of the Bible. Would you turn to Revelation 22? Revelation chapter 22. You know, on the last page of the Bible, there are several last things. Like Revelation 22, verse 14, there's the last blessing in the Bible. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have a right to the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. Verse 17, there is the last invitation of the Bible. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let who hears say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take of the free of gift of the water of life. That's the last invitation. But listen, do you know what verse 18 is in the Bible? It is the last warning of God in all the Bible. And don't you think if it's the last warning in all the Bible, it's pretty important, we ought to pay attention to it? Here it is. Read it for yourself. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Verse 19, and if anyone takes words away from the book of this prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. Now you say, Pastor, isn't that applied directly to the book of Revelation? Absolutely. But I think it is also a general warning about the entire Word of God. Folks, in this book we have the complete Word of God. You don't need to add anything to it. You don't need the Bible plus the Book of Mormon. You don't need the Bible plus any other commentary. You just need the Bible. Don't add to it. But also don't make the mistake that Amaziah made. Don't you dare take away from it. Don't you dare subtract from it. Some of you know that Thomas Jefferson, although he was a great patriot, great leader, founder of our nation, was a deist. Couldn't really call himself an evangelical Christian. Because you know what Thomas Jefferson did to his Bible, as many of you know? Whenever he would come to a part of the New Testament that was a miracle, that was supernatural, that he didn't understand and didn't believe, you know what Thomas Jefferson did? He cut it out. And you can see on display in his home today, under a glass case, his personal Bible with sections of it cut out. Now hear me, I admire Thomas Jefferson. He's one of my heroes. But yet Thomas Jefferson made a grave mistake in that he cut away from the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not to cut away from the Word of Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is to cut on us and to cut away from us those things that should not be there. You say, Pastor, I would never do that to the Bible. I would never take away from the Word of God. I would never cut on my Bible. Heaven forbid. My friend, how much of the Bible do you believe? The only part of the Bible you believe is the part of it that you obey. And the part that you do not obey, you might as well go ahead and do like Amaziah, cut it out, get rid of it. Like Thomas Jefferson, cut it out, get rid of it. Because only that which you obey do you truly believe. So if you don't like God's message, you be careful. Don't attack the messenger. Heed, hear, and obey the message. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this simple message, for this powerful communication from you about hearing your word, believing your word, and obeying your word. Father, I know that it is absolutely true that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. And so help us, Father, not to be like Amaziah. Help us to believe your word and to follow your word. And we pray this knowing that it is the only hope for our nation and the only hope for us as individuals. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.